You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Colton Wright filling in for Andrew McKay this morning on News Radio 92.3. We've been talking economic development this morning, but PJ just surprised me with the Guns N' Roses there, and I got a quick Guns N' Roses story, but it has a tie to Pensacola, kind of roundabout way.
Yeah.
So closest I remember Guns N' Roses ever coming to Pensacola is they played in, I saw them summer of 90 in a horse field. It was a horse track in Birmingham, and it had rained all day. So it was a muddy mess.
A mud fest, yes.
And I don't know what I was thinking at, what was I, 14, I think. And I went with my friend Aaron and my friend Mike, and we drove to Birmingham for the show. I wore blue jeans. It was like July. What was I thinking, uh-huh. Right? Needless to say, it was hot, steamy. Once the rain went away, you know how that goes, where just the sun comes out and
now
it's
you're
just
sitting in muddy pants.
So before we left the car, it was ridiculously hot. I just grabbed a pocket knife and just made them shorts. but it was a muddy field. But what a great experience! Love Guns N' Roses is a great band. So fast forward. Guns N' Roses is on tour. They're playing the Mississippi Coast Coliseum. This little band called Soundgarden is opening for them.
Oh.
I believe it was Metallica, Guns N' Roses, and Soundgarden was the opener.
Oh, great show.
Yeah. I didn't make it over to Mississippi. What I did get to do is see Soundgarden in Pensacola. Most people, unless you're one of the like 600 people crammed in that little place, don't. And if I tell people today that Soundgarden played Pensacola in a small club, people don't believe me. But Candy can confirm that it did indeed happen. They played. There was a little place over on Fairfield. There used to be a Builder Square home, you know, like a home improvement retailer over there. And on the backside of that building, there was this little. It was a bottle club, music venue. That was called the Night Owl. And a lot of people used to go to the Night Owl on a regular basis. It was a bottle club from like midnight to 5 a.m. So you had to be 21 and over and you took your own alcohol kind of thing. That wasn't our thing. They would do sometimes like 9 p.m. to midnight all ages shows. And there were a number of touring acts that would come through there in addition to local bands. And I mean, Helmet played there, a ton of bands over the years. But to see Soundgarden on a day off from an arena tour opening for Guns N' Roses and Metallica and to see them in that place, I will tell you, very few people are as good a frontman as Chris Cornell was.
Mm-hmm.
They had a, you know, most commercial properties have these sprinkler systems in there, right, for fire suppression. So they had a large pipe that was about 4 inches in diameter that fed that sprinkler system that went in front of the stage. And at one point, Chris Cornell grabbed it, flipped upside down and hung from his, like wrapped his legs over it at his knees and sang an entire song hanging upside down, staring me in the face.
Oh my God.
When we were in the front row there. And that place, I think their legal capacity was probably like 450. Uh-huh. But I know there was a few shows where they easily got like 600 to 700 people in that place.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Good story.
Long tangent on the Guns N' Roses thing, but great choice in music there. I didn't know you knew I was such a big Guns N' Roses fan. And matter of fact, I just got a text from Michael Broker saying Soundgarden at the Night Owl. I was there, so yeah, Mike, it was a great experience. I figured that'd probably get some texts going. I got some texts coming in here too. Long live the Night Owl, Gabe Smith. That's famous Gabe tattoo artist in town and a phenomenal artist. But we've got traffic on the fives. Let's go, PJ.
All right. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that's looking good as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks, PJ. All right, so in case you missed the 5 o'clock and the 6 o'clock hour, we talked a lot about economic development. And one of the things that was really great that I had the opportunity to do recently is I had the opportunity to go to the United Kingdom on a mission trip with Select Florida. The governor, Secretary of Commerce Alex Kelly, Secretary of FDOT Jared Perdue, and Secretary of State Cord Byrd. And great experience. It was interesting to see how much the United Kingdom really is endeared to the state of Florida. We have such a large economy, and the Farnborough Air Show, which is the world's largest air show, was also happening at the same time. And as we talked about earlier, there anyone, any company, anything having to do with anything aerospace is at that show. And when you start looking at, you remember the TV show The Jetsons? Remember the cartoons?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I wish you had the music keyed up. It'd be great. You know, his you know, his wife Jane. Yeah, you had it. Spacecraft. Yeah. His boy Elroy. So a comment was made recently in Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. I wasn't there. I was one of the ones I was absent. I was actually, that one was not on business. I was at my daughter's national volleyball tournament. But there was a comment made about flying cars in Florida Department of Transportation.
Mm.
And immediately the response was like, oh, it's the Jetsons. You know, and people made fun of the commissioner that made that comment. Well, here's the funny thing is I knew exactly where he was coming from because I had experienced that when I went to the Paris Air Show a few years ago. And that would have been 2023. And as you're walking the trade show floor at the air show, there were all of these, what they call EVTOLs. So electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. Mm-hmm. And they were like small airplanes that had like 4 to 8 props on them.
Okay.
So they could pick up vertically and then fly. And most of them are made out of carbon fiber and they look kind of space agey. Well, then fast forward to this year's show. And there's one actually flying. I actually got to watch one fly on the tarmac and be demonstrated as a prototype. Well, most people don't realize this, and I did not realize this until I became a county commissioner, that FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, we always think of the roads that we drive on. We think of transportation being our cars. Well, FDOT is also in charge of air transportation. They're in charge, you know, they have a role in our airport structure, you know, and infrastructure around the state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're working currently on a program, and this is what I think is interesting is the commissioner made all these comments. I told him the other day, I said, isn't it interesting? There's all these articles coming out now, and the governor just has this press release with Secretary Perdue about the I-4 corridor and the testing that's being done with these EVTOLs, you know, let's call them air taxis. They basically look like drones that you can put people inside of. And this idea that they're going to try to expand this network of places for them to land and to create this air taxi structure to help alleviate traditional traffic. And when we were on this trip in the UK, Tallahassee Airport Director was part of that trip. And we talked about what would that look like in the panhandle of Florida? You know, because right now, and as most times in the state of Florida, you know, everything has a tendency, the conversations have a tendency to be centered around Santa Rosa or Central Florida, you know, the Orlando, Tampa, Cape Canaveral area, and then Miami, right? Oftentimes the north part of Florida and the panhandle is often forgotten about. But here you got this airport director and myself, and we're talking about, okay, what does that look like? You know, do you create these landing pads for these EVTOLs and these air taxis? Do you set them up at all of the airports? Do you, you know, where else would you put them? You know, so that people can travel around. And and not have to be in a vehicle and move more quickly? And what does that look like? And is it for people, or is it also for freight? You know, what are the other kind of things can be, what kind of air mobility we could have? And it was just a really interesting conversation, because it's the kind of thing that if you'd asked me 5 years ago, is this a conversation we'd be having that had any real substance, any likelihood of actually happening, I would have told you to pound sand, like kick rocks. You're crazy. Yeah, that ain't never happening. A few years ago when I'm at the Paris Air Show, I'm looking at these things going, yeah, it looks cool, but I don't know that anything's really going to happen with it. And here we are now. We got the governor, secretary of FDOT, investing money in it. They're actually working on the network in Central Florida. And here we are having conversations about what happens in the panhandle about it. So just a lot of crazy things. As with most things with technology, grows very rapidly. And sometimes I feel a little bit like maybe my grandfather. He said, you know, get off my lawn. You know, you know what I'm saying, PJ? Like, mm-hmm. You think about the future, you're like, oh, that'll never happen. Imagine what people thought when they were riding horses and you had the horse and buggy, and all of a sudden somebody comes rolling up in this, looks like a wagon, but it's got this loud thing on it rattling, mm-hmm. and smoke coming out of it, and it's moving just a little bit faster than what the horse pulled the cart, and that became the automobile.
Right.
Could they have ever imagined that we'd have highways and do the things we're doing now?
Probably
with cars?
Not.
It's kind of like the data center conversation, right? Everyone's against a data center, but yet they use a cell phone. They have an email address. They don't realize they've been using a data center for the last 30 years,
mm-hmm.
ever since they got Windows 95, right?
Exactly.
But people felt the same way about the automobile when it was coming along. And, you know, one thing I was going to mention about automobiles, it just so happens that did you know in August 12th today, in 1908, that Ford completed the first Model T? And later that month, they actually put him in mass production.
Oh, wow.
And in 1888, so the really early days of automobiles, mm-hmm. Bertha Benz, you know the name Benz?
Mercedes-Benz. Oh, Mercedes-Benz, yeah.
She made the first long-distance road trip in her husband's invention, a motorized carriage. And she set out to prove the value of a car in an era ruled by horses. You'll think about that, 1888. 20 years later, Ford did the Model T.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time between those two things. People probably had every right of, like you were talking about, oh, 5 years, 10 years, you know, you're away from something. You're like, oh, it's never going to happen. And then it does.
Yeah, 20 years back then. And if you put that in today's world, 20 years back then probably happened like a year and a half here. Right. I mean, just things progress so rapidly. It's almost hard to keep up. And I try really hard not to be afraid of technology, you know, but sometimes it is a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So with regard to the UK trip, though, to get back on that, had an amazing opportunity to meet the new UK Consulate General. So his job is to be the diplomat directly to the state of Florida for the entire UK. He's based out of Miami. He started the job while we were over there. The Rufus, the previous guy, was stepping away, and the new UK Consulate General, Keith Scott, was taking over. Had an opportunity to exchange phone numbers when we were over there, had some good conversation. He came to Pensacola last week. I was going out of town with family on Friday, but Thursday I knew he was coming. He had reached out to me. We reconnected. And he says, hey, I'm coming to town. I'm going to go visit the Alyssa tall ship, because he had some connections to that, because it was that ship was built in his hometown.
Scotland, right?
Yeah, in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
So that's where he's actually born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to come see it. So I had the ability. We contacted. He landed in town about 3:25. I picked him up. Got a chance to take him to a reception, introduce him to a number of people in the community. And really give him an opportunity to see what the community is like. And one thing he mentioned, he said, by the time this weekend is over, I'll have spent more time in the Pensacola and Northwest Florida area than I have in my home station of Miami, because he was so new. And I'll leave you with this. He made the comment to me after I introduced him to all these people, and he heard people speak at an event. And he said, I've never been someplace where so many people were so passionate about the community they live in. He could really feel it and sense it. So hopefully we gave him a good window into what greater Pensacola and Northwest Florida is. PJ, we got traffic on the fives.
All right, let's take a quick look at the board here. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Vehicle crash, County Road 297A at Ashbury Lane in Cantonment. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, folks. This is your Congressman, Jimmy Petronas. I'd like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but right now, the truth is I'm not feeling so nice. In fact, I am madder than a hornet, and here's why. Social media is harming our children. Kids are being manipulated by AI chatbots. Some have encouraged kids to harm themselves. Others have even committed suicide. You think fentanyl is dangerous? Some of these AI programs are what I call digital fentanyl. They're designed to get our kids hooked. I'm Jimmy Petronas, and I am fighting to change our laws so big tech will pay the price for what they're allowing our kids to see and do. Big tech must not be allowed to hunt our kids online and hook them to this digital fentanyl. We must stop these monsters from hurting our kids. And with your help, we will. I'd be honored to have your vote this primary day, August the 18th, paid for by Friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Famously, the Apostle Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." What was it that the Apostle had to forget? Possibly the fact that before his conversion, he consented to the death of Stephen. Before Paul met Jesus, Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and the Bible says he was injurious, which is the idea of harmful. When Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are behind," he is saying you don't have to let the failures of your past, no matter how devious, define your future. Forget those failures and reach forward to a future full of opportunity to serve Christ. Jesus wants to graciously liberate you from a life of guilt over sin and bad decisions. So call upon him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. This is Colton Wright filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. And we're going to go to David in the newsroom with some headlines, buddy.
Well, good morning. A federal judge is blocking the U.S. Postal Service from enforcing a Trump executive order that restricts voting by mail. The order signed in March states that 60 days before the midterm gives states 60 days before the midterm elections to provide a list of eligible voters, or the Postal Service wouldn't accept their mail-in ballots. ICE agents might be wearing electric gloves capable of giving shocks soon. The Department of Homeland Security says ICE is planning to spend about $20 million on thousands of pairs of these electric gloves. The DHS contract says they could be distributed as soon as next March. And that's what we got in our headlines. Local news up in just a couple minutes.
All right, we'll be back with Mayor D.C. Reeves in just a minute.
News. I'm CJ Papa. New information about why President Trump switched from Air Force One to a military plane for his flight home from last month's NATO summit in Turkey.
According to various reports overnight, the threat to Air Force One was from a shoulder fire missile that he found out about from Israel.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. In South Carolina, a field of 10, now just two, interim South Carolina Senator Darlene Graham.
I want to thank President Trump. His steadfast support and his complete and total endorsement.
She'll face Congressman Ralph Norman in the August 25th runoff for her late brother's Senate seat. Far-left Democratic Socialist Francesca Hung losing to establishment Democrat David Crowley by less than a percentage point in the Wisconsin primary for governor. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunny skies. It is 81 degrees this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis has announced nearly $188 million to strengthen rural health care across the state, with the Northwest region getting the biggest share of that at $81 million across 35 awards. Locally, Escambia Community Clinics receiving multiple grants totaling well over $10 million combined, supporting preventative care, workforce development, and specialty services. Northwest Florida Community Hospital, North Walton Doctors Hospital also getting some significant funding out of that. State officials say the awards are part of a five-year billion-dollar effort to expand access and stabilize rural health care systems. We've got some information on voter turnout for the early voting as we head into next week's primary election in Escambia County. More than 17,000 of the county's roughly 204,000 active voters have already cast ballots, putting turnout at just over 8%. Most of the votes coming by mail. In Santa Rosa County, more than 8,000 of the county's 142,000 active voters have voted so far, putting turnout at just under 6%. The majority of the votes cast in Santa Rosa County have been through early voting rather than by mail ballots. Both counties continue early voting ahead of Election Day on August 18th. Well, city officials say Milton's youth football and cheer season is off to a strong start. Officials reporting a well-attended Big Cat event last week featuring performances from Milton High School's varsity and freshman teams along with youth football and cheer squads, fish dinner plates, and quarterback club memberships also being sold at that event, which drew a large crowd of families. Milton City Council members say they don't want to hold up construction on the city's new wastewater treatment plant while engineers study potentially better long-term disposal options. Councilman Larry McKee talking with Councilman Mike Cusack at last night's city council meeting. He says the city needs to keep the project moving to protect funding already secured for the plant.
I think that's the option we should go with, just the plant only as far as starting the grant applications. We don't want to lose the concrete. We know that. So
yeah, we definitely don't want to lose it. We definitely want to move forward at least with the plant itself. And we're all in agreement that the 4 million gallon plant.
Yeah.
And additional geotechnical testing on alternative disposal methods will continue, including ribs and man-made wetlands. Could cost the city up to $300,000, according to figures presented at that meeting. It's 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with Channel 3, get a quick look at our forecast.
We
we're going to be seeing mostly sunny skies today with a 20% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 93. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Keeping your nice hot weather around 94 degrees for your high on Friday with a 20% chance of rain. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 81 and sunny right now. Let's check in with PJ, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash Davis Highway at Smith's Fish Camp Road. No roadblock associated with that one. Also have a vehicle crash County Road 297A at Ashbury Lane and Cantonment. Roadway is clear. And then finally, an object in the roadway, I-110 northbound, right as you approach Airport Boulevard. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
7:35, our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. An important inflation report due out later this morning could give the Federal Reserve a little breathing room in its battle against inflation. The Consumer Price Index from the Bureau of Labor Statistics is expected to show a modest increase for July, 0.1% on the all-items headline number. On an annual basis, they are expected to show a 3.4% increase. President Trump on Truth Social criticized New York City's pied-à-terre tax and said he is exploring whether the federal government can intervene to stop it. The tax on non-primary residences of wealthy owners was pushed by Mayor Zora Mamdani and passed by the New York State Legislature. Shipping data says that the tally of vessels tracked in the Strait of Hormuz fell to a one-week low of 8 as owners avoided the key waterway amid continued hostilities in the Middle East. CNBC reports that yesterday's tally of 8 vessels fell below a 10-day average of about 12 for the lowest daily count since August 5th. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
My name is Trey McMullen, and I'm running to be your state representative, not Tallahassee's. District 2 isn't just another district. It's an engine. Families, veterans, first responders, teachers, and small businesses are the fuel that keeps it running. But every engine needs a spark plug. That's the role I intend to play. Not powered by PAC money, not directed by special interest. Powered by the people of District 2. My mission isn't just to pass laws, it's to connect veterans with resources, connect employers with workers, connect families with opportunity, and to ensure your voice, not a lobbyist, is heard in Tallahassee. On day one, I'll hit the ground running to deliver real, measurable results. Because District 2 deserves a representative that works for the people, not the PACs. Vote McMullen this Republican primary.
Paid for and approved by Trey McMullen Campaign for Florida House, District 2, Republican.
If you've lived in Pensacola long enough, chances are a piece of jewelry in your life has passed through Beret. An engagement ring, a family heirloom, a necklace that needed a little extra care. For 40 years, Beret Jewelers has been the place locals bring the pieces that matter most. From custom designs to expert repairs to rings that start new stories and more, Beret does it all.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of 4 children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
While every other media outlet was in regular programming, Pensacola Right Now covered a hostage situation as it happened.
Breaking news this afternoon, we are following an incident. This is in reference to a person who's threatening to harm himself in one of the apartments. We broke this story during the 4 o'clock hour. There was rumor circulating that a child was also in that apartment. I just received word less than 60 seconds ago. The child has now been released.
Pensacola Right Now, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, good morning, everyone. This is Colton Wright with Pensacola News Radio 92.3. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. And when you hear that music, you can only think of one person, and that is Mayor D.C. Reeves. D.C., good morning.
Good morning, sir. How's it going in there in the fill-in duty?
It's a little nerve-wracking. It's different for sure. It's a little bit easier when you got someone to talk to. So you're going to make my life.
I'll do my best. No promises. We'll see. But thanks for having me.
You're always a good interview. And look, and you're a great mayor. I love the fact that we have a young, vibrant, engaged mayor in Pensacola. I mean, it's nice that ever since the city went to the strong mayor concept, I think the results speak for themselves, and you look at what's happened in the greater Pensacola area and downtown Pensacola, and the revitalization it's had, and how different it is from the time that I grew up there. So well done. So this morning,
thank you. We've
been talking a lot about economic development this morning. I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to listen in. I know you've got a daughter, and you're probably getting ready for school and all that fatherly stuff. We were talking to the people about FDOT and how that is tied to more than just roads. It's also airports. So, being someone that flies in and out of the airport pretty regularly, I see the stresses and how full it is. Do you have any updates on the airport? What can you tell us?
A fresh update. We were having budget workshop, and Matt Coughlin, our airport director, and we have a great, Matt and Laura and Todd, and we've just had an awesome team at the airport that has truly catalyzed this growth that we see. And when people ask me about the airport, I always say, hey, just go, next time you walk through, if you want the indicator of where we used to be and where we're going, is, just count the seats at each gate. And what it tells you is that those were built back when we were getting those little 2x2 planes, or maybe even 2x1. We all remember that growing up here. It was pretty rare to see a 3x3 row, that wide of a body of a jet. And our seating areas were built for just smaller capacity. And if you look at the data, that is the case throughout our airport, and why we're so excited for the $110 million terminal grant, our terminal expansion, and got some grant funds as well from the feds and from the state. But that's going to be an entire new TSA screening area, 5 new gates, new concessions. And with all of that addition also comes other things that, having to manage utilities and baggage claim and all these other things that become dominoes when you start to expand your airport. But the numbers are about 13, 14 years ago, we were 1.3 million. That is what our airport was built for as a capacity, 1.3 million, and we're now at 3.1 million. So now you just flip those numbers around and you realize what amazing growth that we have. Another thing I get asked about a lot, Colton, is parking. When are we going to get more parking at the airport? I always put it in perspective at Rotary clubs or town halls, and I say, just so you know, this is how aggressive our growth has been. We have as many parking spaces right now at our airport than what our master plan called for in 2038. That's when they thought we would need the amount of parking that we have in 2026. Nonetheless, we've got another almost 700 space expansion in planning that would be an add-on to that new Tippin park, or the Tippin Road lot that we just put in. That was about 450 spaces about a year and a half ago, or almost 2 years ago. So so we have that great problem that you always want in economic development. We have a city and a region, a community that people want to be in. And I always say, as mayor in any department I have, if I'll take city in demand problems over the opposite any day. I know a lot of mayors around this country that would kill to have our problems of, man, our airport's growing, our downtown's growing. We're a safe city. Everybody wants to be here. And how do we manage that growth? And so airport is certainly no different.
Yeah, we've been talking about that all morning, about the growing pains of whether it be a community or growing pains of a business, and the difficulties that come with that. So you mentioned the parking lot. We got just a minute here, but there's a lot of Alabama plates in that parking lot.
That's right.
If you can quickly explain why that is.
Sure. In short, we actually, the term is leakage. Again, Matt, our airport director, talked about this with our council yesterday. The term is leakage, and if you just take Baldwin County, fastest growing county in Alabama, We have 85% of the leakage. In other words, everyone who flies out of Baldwin County, 85% of them fly out of Pensacola. And I think that's just a big testament to the ease of flying out of Pensacola, as well as the value of flying and the prices and everything else. And so, I mean, I think what a testament to our work is, it's not just Pensacolians, that we really are the airport for Baldwin County as well.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, real quick, we're going to get a traffic on the fives.
Sure. Still working that vehicle crash, Davis Highway at Smith's Fish Camp Road. No roadblock associated with that one. Also have an object in the roadway, I-110 northbound as you approach Airport Boulevard. Just use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks, PJ. So thanks for the update on the airport. There's another mode of transportation that FDOT is involved with, and that's maritime transportation and ports. Port of Pensacola has been very successful. You guys have a lot of exciting things going on, and I got noticed that the governor was going to be in town today. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so governor will be here at 10 a.m. for an announcement. It's an announcement certainly catalyzed by him and his office. I'll let him make it, but I will tell you that it's been really an amazing few years here at our port. And if you grew, as you did, Colton, excuse me, if you grew up here, you knew that there's been, sorry about that, conversations about our port for years about whether it should exist or should we put residential there or should it be cargo. I mean, it was kind of this whole idea back to the Moffitt-Nichols study that was taking place in 2019, asking our citizens, like, what is the identity of our port? And so it's crazy. That almost feels like 30 years ago because of the amazing trajectory that we've been on the last three or four, which is we have American Magic. Governor DeSantis gave $5.5 million of job growth grant fund money for that project. And then now, of course, the big conversation is Bird On, $275 million project, 2,000 jobs. FDOT is actually a contributor to our road and rail infrastructure renovation project right now, to your point. FDOT does more than just roads that you would think when you hear DOT. As a matter of fact, they were a big contributor to the ST engineering project at our airport, actually, from an economic development side, to make that project happen a decade ago. So, ultimately, we're just really at this amazing time at our port where I think we found our niche. Our niche is we're a 50-acre port in the heart of a vibrant downtown. We are not going to be a cargo port like Long Beach or LA or Savannah. We don't have the acreage for that. That isn't our game. But we kind of tried to figure out what our game is. And I think we've landed at a really great place, which is high-paying jobs, which is most important to me. And you have, with the American Magics and the Bird-Ons, is to say, hey, these are folks that need access to the water, but it may not be the more industrial type of uses that may not be as compatible with our downtown. So I'm really excited. I think we're on the precipice of amazing things at our port.
I agree with you. I had the opportunity to, I was at the First Place Partners meeting, a week or so ago, and had the opportunity to listen to one of the representatives from Bird On. And, they were very hesitant to talk about the future and exactly what's happening because the Triumph grant has not completely been gone through yet, yep. But there's still some things that hanging in the balance, but they gave just some background about, what the company does and some history. And it was, one thing they pointed out is, they've already partnered with, Patty Marine here in town. And I think the fact that they've already started building those relationships or partnering with existing companies in the community. I really do believe they'll be a great partner. And, I think it's important for people to remember too. I get asked all the time, why do you spend time in Pensacola if you represent Santa Rosa County? And I try to remind people all the time that if something happens at the port, that's good for Pensacola, that's good for Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, exactly. And as a matter of fact, I think this came up recently, different topic, but it came up at the county commission meeting about, what would a bay center or a conference center do to the beach? Would it cannibalize the beach, I think was the question. And I was like, no, actually, just the opposite. What you need, whether it's tourism, whether it's economic development, is you need more people caring about, loving, and wanting to live in the city of Pensacola. And that's why, for me, I think the county, Santa Rosa County, Escambia County, is going to have a different ranking of priority as it pertains to economic development tactics. When you're only 22 square miles of landmass in a city, we don't have acres and acres of dirt to bring big warehouses in. We've got the port. But other than that, our strategy really is let's make a really, really cool place and safe place to live, because then what happens is young, talented people move here. And then when young, talented people move here, that's when businesses say, oh, great, we can move our 500-employee business, our 200-employee business to the city, because it in the city limits and the surrounding area, we have young, talented engineers or whatever the case may be that want to live in this great city, so we can see ourselves moving our business here. And so I'm just a big believer in investment follows talent and talent follows place. Build a great place, talent goes, and when talent lives in your city, investment happens. And you can just look at Charleston or Greenville, South Carolina, places like that that are kind of like size to us or were, and really do a great job of cultivating talent and making this just such an attractive place to be.
Yeah, I agree 100%. We were talking about economic development earlier, and one of the things I mentioned was opportunity, right? Opportunity for our kids, opportunity for our grandkids, opportunity for generations that, you know, I won't be around to see. But that's part of what economic development really is just providing those opportunities. You mentioned the Bay Center. What's the latest on that? I mean, I'm a big believer in expansion there, and some type of convention possibilities would be great. I mean, I can tell you I've gone to conventions and meetings all around the country, and I'm constantly frustrated going, why don't we have that in the greater Pensacola area with everything else we have with our beaches and everything else? So what's the latest? What's the direction there?
Yeah, certainly philosophically for me as one cog of this big wheel, my position remains the same, which is we've got to renovate this Bay Center. It's as old as me, hasn't been renovated significantly ever. And I think we've got general alignment and consensus on that. Then there's the conversation about a second facility. There was a meeting in August. I don't know that we'd had two productive meetings. I'm not sure how much progress the county commission, you'd have to ask them, county commission feels they made in that last meeting. We had agreed on an interlocal agreement with, you know, going between county and city attorney offices. And then we put it on the agenda. It got to the day as the county commission, and the commissioners have never seen it. I don't know why that is. That we were very, transparent about wanting to do. And here's the interesting thing. We don't really need an interlocal agreement. The city and county, there's no legal requirement for that. And so that's why I pulled it immediately once there was confusion on the county side. Because, listen, number one, the irony is the reason for that interlocal agreement, Colton, is only to show outside investment that the two governments are working together. That's it. That's the only value it brings. So we don't even have to have one. The contract says that the city is the lessee. There was some insinuation that we were trying to prove that point. Absolutely not. We've got to work together to make this happen. And the only thing more complex than getting one procurement through government is one procurement through two governments. So the reality is that was the hope, and maybe that's something we can still do. But we stand at the ready with the county, and I still I'm very hopeful, because I do know that all of the leadership have consensus agreement that something must be done. And now it's time for whatever analogy you'd like, sausage making, devil's in the details. We got to get, but I've got some urgency to see some progress, and I'm sure our citizens do too. We'd not just spend 3 years or four more years trying to study something or, you know, make something happen.
Yeah, insert cliche here, so to speak. Yeah, you know, people. Right. A lot of people just don't realize how intergovernmental those interlocal agreements work, and how important they can be, and oftentimes how difficult it is to work from between cities and counties. But Mayor DC Reeves, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Look forward to seeing you down at the port in just a little while.
Absolutely, Colton. Hey, thanks so much for having me, and appreciate your partnership over in Santa Rosa County, and my opportunity to get to work with you. So thank you so much.
That goes two ways. I appreciate you. Take care. And over to PJ with traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks very much. Looks like we have a vehicle crash on Davis Highway at Smith's Fish Camp Road. No roadblock associated with that vehicle crash. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock, Gulf Breeze Parkway, right near Greenbrier. They're saying the roadway is blocked. So, again, just use caution as you pass by that area. Just a reminder that the mayor's interview is brought to you by...
This interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nyswanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nyswanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
Sportsman's Night Out is back September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center featuring bass fishing legend Hank Parker. Tickets are only $10 and can win you prizes like hunting trips, weapons, a brand new camper, a tractor, four-wheeler, a brand new car, and so much more. Brought to you by partners like Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Benton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church. For more information, visit sportsmansnightout.com. That's Sportsman's Night Out September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center.
I don't know about you, but for me, every time I've ever had to buy a car, it's basically been an unpleasant experience. Except one. That one was when I bought from Frontier Motors. And I'll tell you why. Because we went there just trying to test drive a car. We weren't going to buy it. We knew what we needed. Well, we wanted to test drive it to make sure it's what we wanted. When we actually had to replace our Dodge Caravan, maybe about 6 months later, well, they had the Honda Odyssey. It was really hard to find at this particular time to drive one. They had the color we wanted. They had the trim level we wanted. We wound up negotiating a little bit on the price, and we bought it when we weren't really looking. Why? Because they had the exact thing we wanted. It was a great car with like 13,000 miles, and it was a year old, came back from a lease in Orlando. They bought it at auction, and it was just easy. I didn't have to tell anybody my life story. I didn't have to get passed around from this person to that person. All the normal nonsense that you go through in buying cars, didn't have to deal with that. Great quality used cars for excellent prices. And they follow up with you after because they want to make sure you're happy. Like, they treat you like you want to be treated. Whereas I know a lot of times when you deal with cars, it's icky, right? Well, don't do that. Go to Frontier. Check out the great selection, about 300 good quality cars and trucks on the lot at any given time, and find out why it's different. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it, but your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 3. In 5 years, over 5,000 students have walked away from our public schools. That is not just a statistic, that's a wake-up call. Our schools deserve strong and accountable leadership that puts students first, restores trust, and keeps families right here at home. It's time for a change. Terminate the failure. Rebuild our schools. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, and I will appreciate your vote.
Paid for by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hey, thanks for listening this morning. This is Colton Wright filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, and David Wayne's in the newsroom with headlines.
Well, good morning. There's a massive wildfire now threatening hundreds of homes and businesses in California's Big Sur. The fire department there says that the timber fires scorched about 3,000 acres since last weekend, and as of right now is only 5% contained, and there's evacuation orders in place along the coast south of Monterey there, and over 500 buildings could be at risk. On a happier note, the Powerball jackpot now up to more than $1 billion. Nobody matched all six numbers Monday night. The grand prize has rolled over to tonight's drawing, which, it says $975 million. Now the largest Powerball prize so far this year.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News Radio.